Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I exalt and I magnify you, Lord, above all things. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be able to come today to share what it is that you have been speaking to me and laying upon my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give me utterance, oh Lord, you take my voice, you take my words, oh Lord, and you speak through my lips, oh Lord, to your people tonight in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that what I would say would make sense because it will not be me speaking. I bring myself down that you might pour yourself out through me. And I pray, Lord, that these words, oh Lord, will bear fruit on the hearts that they would touch in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for such a time as this, because indeed you are speaking and we, your people, are listening to your praise and to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So towards the end of my prayer, I said the last bit of my prayer was that God is indeed speaking and we, his people, the promise we'll continue to make is that we'll listen to him. Because I don't know how many people joined prayer tonight, the 6 p.m. prayer tonight. If you were on that prayer, I was just in awe because what Professor Ohio shared, what he shared in terms of leading the prayer is just in line with what God has laid on my heart to speak tonight. And initially, I thought I was going to come up last week to take the Bible study, but then things got moved around. And sincerely, what was laid on my heart last week is different from what God has been speaking to me this week. So when Ohio came up and said what he said in prayer, I just said, God, you know what? This is what you want us to be doing right now, and this is what you want us to be speaking of right now. And so very quickly, I'll be going into my notes. So if you see me looking down, it's because I'm going through my notes that I take when I study personally. And so very quickly, I would like to ask the media to display our theme scripture for this month, which is in line with our theme, Getting Back My Cutting Edge. And that scripture is from 2 Kings 6, verses 1 to 7. I'm not sure if I should read that, but well, we've all read it. Okay, I'll quickly go through it. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Verse 6. So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Final verse. "Therefore," he said, "pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. Thank you so much, media. So on Sunday, I myself and Mommy of the Arrowwood had the opportunity of taking Mama's class on Sunday at their breakfast club. And one of the things I said to the children, because we read this scripture over again with them, and one of the things I remember saying to them was that as living beings, we will always outgrow whatever it is that we find, wherever it is that we find ourselves, because we are living. The only people that do not need any expansion or need to move from a particular place are the people that are no longer living. So as children, we'll continue to grow. And when we grow, we'll need change of clothes. When you start a family, you start small. And when your family increases, you need a bigger space. You move to a bigger place. It is the same thing with God's children. God expects us that at every point in time, whilst we're growing, we will always be cramped wherever we are. And so it's just biblical that these people found themselves in a place that previously was taking them, was okay for them. But guess what? They outgrew the place. And then what did they do? They decided to seek for a better place, a bigger place. And obviously, in those days, seeking for a bigger place meant doing it yourself. And that was why they gathered themselves. They sought consent from who they perceived to be the leader at that time. They gathered themselves and went about cutting the trees down to make a bigger place, a bigger space for themselves. As children of God, where have we found ourselves right now? Last Bible study, Brother Ezekiel talked about, what are you seeing? And today, I want to ask you, how are you seeing? Because how you're seeing will determine how far you go. If you're seeing through a veil, you will not see the extent of where you ought to be going. But when you see clearly, when your vision is clear and nothing is obstructing it, you would go far. And that's where I want to begin my talk today. Because these sons of the prophet found out that where they were was too small. And so they decided to go and make a bigger place for themselves. Obviously, they moved out and went to cut down the trees. Cutting down trees is not a mean feat. It's not something that you just go in there and snap up the trees, you know, with your hands. It's not done that way. It required them using something, using an instrument to be able to fell those trees. And I remember last week's Bible study on Thursday, whilst we were watching, my baby said something, which is Nathan. He said, "Mommy, that doesn't sound right, because the axe head is iron and is heavier. Why would it fall?" Because the trees are not meant to be, you know, as strong as the iron axe head. If you get what I'm saying, you're using something stronger to overcome something that is supposedly weak. So I said to him, just listen and you'll find the answer. And I'm hoping that he's watching tonight so that he will take it a step further. So these guys went in, you know, they went down to the Jordan and they were felling trees. Felling trees is not done by hand, like I said. So it required something heavier, something much more stronger than, you know, the tree that they were about to fell. And that brings me to us as God's own children. On a daily basis, we encounter difficult situations and difficult challenges, because you might see those trees as challenges, because without them cutting down the trees, they will not be able to build what it is that they need. So that tree was standing, you know, the tree standing was standing in the way of expansion. Let's put it that way. And as God's own children, that is what most of us go through on a daily basis. We encounter difficult situations and challenges out there that try to stop us or slow us down in getting our newer space. But then, as God's own children, he doesn't leave his own unarmed, which is what these people, the sons of the prophets, did. They didn't go into they didn't go to Jordan without any instruments. And that's the same thing with God. He doesn't leave us unarmed. He knows that there will be these trees for us to fell. There will be these trees for us to take down, for us to create space, for to create an enlarged space when we outgrow where we are. And what does he equip us with? An axe. You can't go into the, you can't go about felling trees with a blunt axe. So your axe really, ideally at the beginning, should be sharp. Over the last few weeks, we've heard about, you know, the different revelation that this axe has been to so many people that have spoken. We've listened to Brother Damola, we've listened to Brother Ezekwe. And, you know, when you come, if you've been coming into the prayer meetings, you just hear different revelations about what this battle, this axe head is to people at that point in time. And tonight, when Professor Ohio was taking prayers, he mentioned one of it, which is love. Now, today, in our time, one battle axe that as Christians I have seen us blunt over time is our identity. Over the course of time, our battle axe of identity has become blunt. Not because we chose to, but because over time we just forget who we really are. We have forgotten who God calls us as. We have forgotten that our identity is not in any other person, but in Christ himself. And today I want you to ask yourself a sincere question. Who am I? And who does God say I am? What does God say about me? Because it's in you knowing your identity, you'll be able to fell the trees of doubt, the trees of disappointments, the trees of second-guessing yourself, the trees, you know, of just being restless. It is your identity. It is you knowing your identity in Christ that will help you to fell these trees down. Psalm 82, verse 6 to 7. If the media team can please bring that up. Psalm 82, verse 6 to 7 talks about we being gods. The Bible says we are gods, and all of us are the children of the Most High. But guess what? Are we walking as gods? Because if we're not walking as gods, small g, verse 7 says, we shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. God has called us, you know, into the same identity with Christ. And you know what struck me when I was doing my preparation for today is that we studied Romans chapter 8 during retreat. That was no coincidence at all. If we have forgotten what it is that we studied during retreat, I would encourage each and every one of us to please go back and study Romans chapter 8. The whole of Romans really is about our identity in Christ. But we studied Romans 8 during the retreat, and that would help you know who you truly are, who God says you are. Because it is in you knowing your identity in Christ, you will be able to wield a sharp axe head, because that is your identity. We all know that a lion cannot give birth to a goat, neither can a goat give birth to a lion. The knowledge of us, the knowledge of who we are in Christ is what will make us walk tall and will help us enter into the space, the room that we need to expand into. Without knowing your identity, without taking that identity, and without walking in that identity, it will be difficult for you to get that which you need to create more room for yourself. And a scripture that came readily to mind was the prodigal son story in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. How sad. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I'll stop here. Now, we all know this story very well. It's a story of two brothers, a younger brother and an older brother. The younger brother knew his identity. At that time, he knew what was his right. So he went to his father and said, you know, share whatever it is that you're going to give us, even when you die. Give it to me now. Let me just take mine and go. I mean, what he asked for is unusual, but is not out of place because his father's inheritance will still have come to him and his brother. So he took his own bit and he walked away and went away. And after leaving, we don't know for how long he lived away from home, but he spent everything and squandered all and became one of the lowest of the low for him to have gone to, you know, almost feed with the swine, which we know that in the Bible of the olden days, you know, the swine was not something that the Israelites were meant to really associate with. So you can imagine him thinking that low of himself to want to go to be with the swine. But in that state of him being so low, and when you get low, the only place you can go is to go high, because you can't go lower than low anyway. So what did he think? You know, he remembered who he was. He remembered his identity. He remembered that he's got a father who gave him his own inheritance even whilst he was still alive. And this father is still very much alive. And so what did this guy do? He got himself up and took himself back home because of his realization and his the fact that he knew where he was from. On the contrary, the older brother lived with the father all of those times. He was with the father. He didn't squander. He didn't ask for his own inheritance. He stayed there. But guess what? He stayed with the father and still did not know who he really was. He didn't know how much, you know, he didn't know what his identity in his father carried. He didn't know that everything the father had belonged to him. And it was because he didn't have that knowledge that he got angry when his father took the younger brother in. I want to ask us again tonight, how are you seeing? Are you seeing through the eyes of the younger brother and knowing and identifying who you truly are? Or are you seeing through the eyes of the older brother, where your father has everything and his identity is known to us, and yet we can't tap into that? And the identity I want to talk about today is love. And that was why when Professor Ohio went into this, I was shocked, because that is one thing that really, really scares me. Not because I crave love from everybody, but because the scripture talks so much about love. And the Bible talks about God himself being love. So if the Bible says God is love, that is who we are. If the Bible says God is love and we are God's small g, and we're children of the Most High God, that automatically makes us love. But are we walking in that? Are we walking in that reality? Are we walking in that identity? Are we walking knowing that God is counting on us to spread his love all over the earth? Do we realize that God will be angry if we do not walk in that identity of love? And I'll show you why I said God will be angry, because he talks about it in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. This is Bible study, so we will be going through a few of the scriptures that I came across when I was doing this. Revelation 2, verse 1. Thank you, media. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. But verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you. God is calling us and warning us today, bringing our focus back to this, that he has one thing. He knows all our work. He knows all that we do. He knows all the charitable things that we do. He knows how, you know, you pray. He knows how you fast for people. He knows that. But he has one thing against you and I. And that is that we have left our first love. And he did not stop at that. He went on to verse 5. And he says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Does this not sound very close to what happened in 2 Kings with the sons of the prophets? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. The prophets asked the son of the prophets, where did this axe head fall? Where have we fallen? Where have we missed it? Where have we gone astray? Where have we missed identifying with Christ? Where have we fallen out of love? And God being so good, being a good, good father, he didn't stop at that. Yes, it's a good thing to remember. But he says, repent and do the first works. Excuse me. Repent and do the first works. Repent and go back to your first love. Repent and remember that your identity in Christ, one of your identity in Christ is love. Repent. Excuse me. Repent today so that your axe head of love will be sharpened again. And not only did he say repent, he gives us a scary warning. And that is the part that really, really we need to know, that if God says it, he will do it. He says, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Can you see that God is angry? Let me use that word. Because our battle axe of love is blunt. In some Bibles, this part of the Bible has at the top the loveless church. Is that what we have become? Have we become people without love in our hearts? Have we decided that, you know what, I'll just focus on myself and do my own thing? In the last days, one of the scriptures Professor Ayo talked about today was 2 Timothy 3:2, where the Bible talks about in the last days, many will become lovers of themselves. But God is warning us today. Remember from where you have fallen. Remember the point where your love towards that person turned cold. Remember when you made up your mind that, you know what, this person, I will stop loving them. Excuse me. Remember what it is that they've done. And you repent. Repent, because you're the one that fell out of love. Repent and make your way back and identify your identity in Christ. God is calling us today to think about these things and where they have gone wrong. Otherwise, he says it will come quickly. He didn't just say it will come. He qualified his coming. He says, I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. My prayer is that our lampstands will not be taken out before time in the name of Jesus. My prayer is that we will think back and remember where we fell and repent as God is calling us to today. And I will go back to do the first works and remember the first love. Because we love only because Christ loved us first. It is the love that God has for you and I that took Christ to the cross. So what is it that someone has done that you can't let go? And the truth of the matter is, the person that you're not letting go does not even know that you're not letting them go. They've moved on with their lives. But you are carrying the bitterness all over the place. Remember where you have fallen. And as you're remembering that, remember that God himself is love. 1 John chapter 4 talks about love, talks about who God is. And it talks about if you have not seen God and you say you love him, then just know that you're deceiving yourself, because the expression of God that you would see to love is you and I. You haven't seen God. The only way you can love him is to love his creation. So what is it that you can't let go? And with our battle axes of love being sharpened, there is nothing that will be able to stand in our way. There's nothing. Because love overcomes all things. The Bible tells us in Corinthians, of these three things, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of it is love. I want us to ask ourselves today, are we becoming a loveless church? Because this is a charge God is bringing against us. Are we becoming busy and selfish and cannot be bothered about what others are going through? I wrote here, have we allowed our individualistic traits of building for ourselves to overtake our identity of loving Christ? Are we carrying on like it's just one axe head anyway that is lost, and we can carry on with the cutting? We can carry on with the chopping. Because the Bible does not tell us how many sons of the prophet went about cutting down trees, but it was just one that fell into the river. And that one was enough to catch the prophet's attention. Are we thinking that the walking 99 is better than the lost one? And who are we to think that since it's just one that has been lost, it's an inconsequential one? Because if there were 20 of them or 100 of them in that wood that went to the Jordan to cut down trees, I mean, one fell, yes, they could have carried on with the work. Or the prophet could have said, you know what, oh, well, that's just one, the rest can carry on. But no, it was enough for him to pause and ask, where did it fall? As God is asking us today, where did our love grow cold towards that person? Where did that person offend us so much, or our spouses, or even our children? We heard that during prayers. It might just be that it's not even a person in church. It might be someone in your family. It might be spouses to one another. Oh, you don't know what he did. I can never let him go. I can never forgive him. Really? Is that who you are? Is that who God has called you to be? Or that child really hurt me. After all I did for that child, only for him or her to turn their backs on me. You can't tie your children down. And the fact that they've done what they've done does not give you enough reason to fall out of love with your children. And I know some people might say, oh, it's not possible. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at the amount of parents that cut off their children because they disrespected them or they disobeyed them. It's not an excuse for children to do what they ought not to do. But do you know you can win over that child with love? If Jesus could leave the 99 to go after that one lost sheep, that tells you that one is very, very significant. If the father could have been looking out for one son, he had two sons and one didn't go. One didn't squander his inheritance. If the father could have been looking out for that one, because the Bible says that whilst the boy was still afar off, the father saw him. So that tells me that maybe every single day of the time that boy was away, the father sat at the window looking out for the boy, wishing and praying that he will come back home. After all, he had one more at home. But that one that went was the pain in his heart. So if the father could look out for that one, and when he saw him, he ran and hugged him and accepted him back, which is what God is saying to us today. Repent. Repent. Wherever our love has grown cold, repent. Otherwise, there's a charge. There's a consequence. There's a repercussion if you do not repent. God is calling us back to our first love today. God is calling us back to our first love today. He's calling us back to that identity of love. If at the 6 p.m. prayer, it was about love, and at this Bible study, it's about love, I'm sure you know that there must be something that God is saying to us that we ought to be listening to. We have allowed our love to be blunted, and so that accent is no longer strong. That accent is no longer a cutting edge. It is no longer strong enough to cut down those trees of doubts. It's no longer strong enough to cut down the trees of discouragement. It's no longer strong enough to cut down even the trees of malice, because we have allowed the axe to be blunt. And not only has it become blunt, it has even fallen off. It is God's love that has given us sonship through the death of Jesus Christ. And if God can give us that identity, why would you not want to take it? Why would you not want to take it? The identity we have in Christ supersedes anything else that you can ever imagine. And like I said, if you want to know all about who you are in Christ, Romans is the place to be. Romans is the place to be. But today we choose the identity of love. And I'll round up by saying, with us getting back our cutting edge in love, we can overcome any tree of doubts, any tree of worthlessness, any tree of discouragement that might prevent us in moving out of our cramped spaces. Indeed, there is nothing we have been given that we will not give an account of on the last day. On this one, we will give an account. Because that was what the son of the prophet thought about when he told the prophet that it was borrowed. Because he will have to take it back to the owner and give an account. And I just want us to know that no matter how difficult it is to love that person, if Christ could die for that person, then you have no business not loving that person. You have no business not loving that individual, either within your family or an acquaintance or someone at your place of work. Because guess what? You never know when that person will be needed by you. We've heard it before that your net worth is your network. So you cannot live on your own. No man was made an island. So the earlier you start building your net worth in people, the earlier you understand that these people would one day be the people you'll be falling, you'll be cutting down trees with. I just pray that this little, I've only just come to share what it is that was revealed to me in my own quiet time. And I just hope that, I don't know if I've been able to put them together, tie them together, articulate them well, but I just pray that wherever they land tonight, that they will find good souls and they will take root and germinate and bring forth fruits in the mighty name of Jesus.